Psalms chapter 39, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this: I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Let's read verse 3 one more time. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our message this evening. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. That's the purpose of coming to church, Lord, and hearing the Word of God preached, is so, Lord, it can work in our hearts and change us, God, so we can be better for you. And God, we need you tonight. Lord, I need you. God, help me, Lord, as I preach your Word. And God, I pray that you would help me to say what you'd have me to say and not say what you wouldn't have me to say, God. And Lord, just help us this evening. We need you, Lord. Bless our pastor tonight. Help him. And we thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. David Livingston, the great missionary to the heart of dark Africa, wrote this in his diary after refusing to return home after 30 years on the mission field. March 19th, my birthday. My Jesus, my King. My life, my all. I again dedicate my whole self to thee. Accept me and grant, O gracious Father, that ere the year is gone, I may finish my work. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. A year later, his servants found him dead on his knees. Another great missionary, William Carey, known as the father of modern missions, William Carey labored 7 years. 7 years before the first Hindu convert was baptized. I wonder if many of us would have labored 7 weeks. 7 years before the first Hindu convert was baptized. William Carey was known as saying this: attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Adoniram Judson, the renowned missionary to Burma, endured untold hardships trying to reach the lost for Christ. For 7 years he suffered hunger and privation. During this time he was thrown into prison and for 17 months was subjected to mistreatment. As a result, for the rest of his life he carried the ugly marks made by the chains and iron shackles which had cruelly bound him. Upon his release he asked for permission to enter another province where he might resume preaching the gospel. The godless ruler indignantly denied his request, saying this: my people are not fool enough to listen to anything a missionary might say, but I fear they might be impressed by your scars and turn to your religion. And not just these great men of God, but as I look around this room tonight, I see many Christians who for many years have served the Lord with their lives. I see men like our own Pastor Ross sitting over here, who for almost 4 decades has remained faithful, still preaching the same message, the same gospel, and the same standards. The same standards. Not changing. Doesn't matter which way the world's going. Doesn't matter which way supposed Christians are going. Still preaching the same message. What about people besides men of God? I look at people through this room who's been through some untold hardships, or who maybe at this time are going through some hardships, still faithful to God, still in their place, still doing what God wants them to do. You know, I once heard a great man say this: greatness is not measured in years, but rather in decades. Greatness is not measured in years, but rather in decades. As I think about these people, as I think about David Livingston, as I think about William Carey, as I think about Adoniram Judson, as I think about different folks, you in this room, what keeps people like that going? What enables people through hardships, through trials, to keep on going, to keep staying faithful to God, to keep loving God? And as I thought about this and I read this passage, this thought came to mind: the fire burned. The fire burned. If you look up that word in the Hebrew, that word means this. It means to kindle. It means to consume. It means that which consumes. The fire is not some feeling. It's not some emotion. It's not a spooky spiritual experience. It's not being charismatic. It's not speaking in tongues. No, the fire is that which is inside your soul that drives you to do what it is that you do. It's that which consumes you. And tonight I want to bring a message that I've entitled this, "The Fire Burned." The fire burned. Well, first of all, I want to look at and see what causes the fire to burn. What causes that fire to burn deep down inside men of God and dear saints of God that causes folks to keep serving God and keep doing what's right? You know, I think you all understand this, but the Christian life isn't a bed of roses. It's not always easy to stay faithful to God. Obviously, that's true, because if it was easy, everyone would do it, wouldn't it? If it was easy to stay faithful to God and to finish out your life's course serving God, then there would be millions of Christians who've done that thing. But no, just the opposite's true. Men are falling by the wayside. Folks are changing their beliefs. They're giving up on God. They may have served God for a few years, but now they've kind of slacked off a little bit. But yet there's still people who are still staying faithful and doing what they ought to do. You know why? Because there's a fire that burns inside. Now, folks, that's not by accident. That doesn't just happen. There must be some ingredients that causes that fire to burn. The first ingredient we find is this. It's what causes the fire to burn. It's the Word of God. Wouldn't that be on the top of the list? Praise the Lord. The Word of God. You know the verse. We quote it many times. Jeremiah 20, verse 8 and 9. "For since I spake, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." That was Jeremiah's statement. Hey, you know what? I found out. Hey, this preaching the Bible thing is kind of hard. It's a derision unto me. People don't want to hear it. Hey, God, I'm just not going to preach your word anymore. But I'm glad verse 9 comes, because it says this. "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." You know what Jeremiah found out? That the word of God, once it gets down inside, it's a flaming fire that consumes the soul. I'm talking about the words of God Almighty, the men. Jeremiah 23:29. "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Hey, folks, that old hard person you're trying to see saved, that old hard case that you don't think can come to salvation, hey, you get some of the Word of God in them and see what happens then. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, when it talks about that it's the power of God, that word power is where we get our English word dynamite from. That the gospel is the dynamite of God that gets inside of the heart and breaks it. It's the fire. The Word of God causes the fire to burn. I'm talking about the King James Bible that causes the fire to burn. I'm talking about the old inspired book that we hold and stand strong to. I was talking to Brother Castle last week at the picnic, and he told me, and I was devastated to hear this, but there was someone, I'm not going to mention the name, but there was a preacher who he had on the radio every day. And he told me, he's like, "Man, I'm going to have to pull him off the radio, because now he's coming out and saying that there's some translation errors in the King James Bible, and that some of the other versions have better translations. I'm going to have to pull him off the air because of that." Hey, folks, that's happening all the time. But let me tell you something. We hold true to the King James Bible. It's the fire. It's what causes that fire to burn down inside of us. We have the perfect Word of God without mistake. Hey, you know what? You know those folks that use the NIV Bible, they can't say that. You know those that use any other version beside the King James Bible can't say that they have a Bible without error. But hey, we hold true to the King James Bible. Praise the Lord. And that deep down inside of our soul causes the fire to burn. I tell our kids this. Sometimes they'll come to me and say, "You know, Brother Isaac, how long should I read my Bible?" I said, "Well, read it until it starts burning inside." And I think any of you that have a relationship with the Bible know what I'm talking about. You know, there's some days to where I can dive right in and it immediately starts to burn inside. There's some days where it takes me a while to start burning. Maybe I've been waterlogged a little bit or something, and it takes me a little bit longer. But hey, folks, you stay in the Bible and something will start burning inside. Because the Word of God is not my word like the fire, saith the Lord. And the Word of God will cause the fire to burn. But there's some other ingredients that causes the fire to burn. And I was not in here for the message this morning, but I heard about it. And if this was preached this morning and it was in my message tonight, then I think God wants us to hear this again tonight. But not only the fire, the Word of God causes the fire to burn, but the holiness of God causes the fire to burn. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. I want you to see something here. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read to you a couple verses. This is where the angel of the Lord appeared, being God himself, appeared to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Isn't it amazing here how God appeared to Moses? In a flame of fire, out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Isn't it amazing here how the fire and the holiness of God go hand in hand right here? Revelation 4:8 says this, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You know what? God thinks his holiness is so important that he made part of his creation to do nothing but remind him every day around his throne about how holy he is. I think if God created some angels to just constantly always say he's holy, I think God thinks holiness is pretty important. It's time that we as Christians realize that we serve a holy God. If we realize how holy God is, that would take care of a lot of our standard problems. If we realize we serve a holy God, 1 Peter 1:16 says this, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey folks, this is not an option. This is a command of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey folks, hey, how many times you heard this? Well, that's just not my preference. And it doesn't matter what your preference is. What matters is what the Bible says. And you know what? We've been accused around here of being legalists, of going around and saying, hey, you got to do this in order to go to heaven. Folks, you know there's not one thing that we believe that we can't point to a scripture verse and a Bible principle about and say, hey, this is why we believe what we believe. Okay, you know why? Because we don't base our standards and our beliefs upon what we think. We base it upon what God says in the Word of God. And the holiness of God. You can't deny it throughout the whole Bible. And you know what, folks? I'm just as guilty as everyone else. I'm not perfect, and neither are you. If you looked hard enough, you could find faults in me. If I looked hard enough, I could find faults in you. But you know what? You know, just because we're not perfect, just because we're not sinless, is not an excuse that God will accept for us not to live holy lives. God expects His children to be holy. We should be holy in our music. We should be holy in the way we dress. We should be holy in the way we talk. We should be holy in the way we conduct ourselves. We should be holy in our relationships with people. We should be holy in every aspect of our lives. Amen. You know the song we sang this morning? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And as the verse goes, be careful, little hands, be careful, little feet. Hey, you know what? That song is just not for 2 and 3 year olds. Ed, you know what? I need that song. You know, hey, when I'm sitting at home, I need to say, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Hey, when I'm out and about, I need to be seen to myself. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Hey, we all need to be doing that because God expects us to live holy lives. And folks, I'm not talking about being a Pharisee. I'm not talking about using your standards or using the way we live to look down on other people. I think that's just as sinful. That's just as wicked. You know what, folks? People have to learn. Not everybody's at the same stage. Where were you at 5 years ago? Where were you at when you first got saved? Folks, we all have to learn. I'm not talking about being a Pharisee, but I am talking about this. As you learn and as you grow and as you decide you're going to dedicate to yourself to the Lord, the fire's going to burn. The fire burns. Not only does the Word of God cause the fire to burn, not only does the holiness of God cause the fire to burn, but the presence of God causes the fire to burn. Luke 24:32. This is the story of the disciples on the Emmaus Road as they're walking with Christ. They didn't know it was Christ. And then after they sat down to eat, the Bible says he vanished out of their presence. And they said this. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures? Hey, notice the common denominator there again. We have Jesus. We have his presence. We have the Bible. And we have a fire burning. I think maybe there's a pattern there. Deuteronomy 4:11 says this, and you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. You know why the mountain burned in the Old Testament? Because the presence of the Lord was there. Now, hey, today, God doesn't appear in mountains of fire. Jesus Christ does not appear in our presence and vanish away out of our presence. But folks, hey, where is God present today? What's the Bible say where God's presence is at? Well, the Bible does say this, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Hey, you know the presence of God is in the church? You realize that? We're here this evening. God is here. Jesus Christ told us in the book of Revelation that He walks amidst His churches. Jesus Christ's presence is here tonight. His presence is here. His presence is in the church. You know that God's presence is in our personal walk with Him. Do you realize God desires a relationship with each and every Christian? God desires that. God wants that relationship with you. Folks, hey, let me tell you something. Reading the Bible and praying is more than reading some words and going through a list. And Pastor Jerry, man, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit just ties things together. He talked about this morning. Hey, folks, it's more than just, hey, I got to get this done so I can hurry out the door. Folks, God wants a relationship with us. God doesn't just want some people who mindlessly read words. He doesn't just want some people who are guilty of vain repetition. God desires some people He can have a relationship with. God desires that presence. And when you have that relationship with God, the fire is going to burn because the fire is in the presence of God. Not only that, but the fire burns through the presence of God is felt through the difficult times and dark valleys we must face. Why must I suffer? Isn't that the age-old question? Why do bad things happen to good people? So God's presence can burn hotter in our lives. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly thereof will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The fire is in the presence of God. The presence of God oftentimes is felt only through the dark valleys. That is what caused the martyrs of the ages to meet the lions and the tigers in the Colosseums. That's what caused men like John Huss and John Bradford to burn at the stake. That's what caused a man named Henry Voss to say this, "If I had but twin heads, they should all be cut off for Christ." What caused men to do that? The presence of God. The presence of God where the fire burned at. That's why the world thinks that we as Christians are crazy. We, even though we're facing the dark times in our lives, can glory because God meets us there to take us through them. Even through the dark times in our lives, the fire can burn because it's felt in the presence of God. So what caused the fire to burn? The Word of God, the holiness of God, the presence of God. Not only that, but the judgment of God. Jeremiah 4:4 says this, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says this, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels," notice here, in flaming fire, "taking vengeance on them that know not God and they that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." You know, it may seem like the evildoers are getting away with their sin. Don't you get sick and tired of seeing all the wickedness that's going on in this world? And you know, as Christians, we may look at that and think, why is God allowing them to get away with that? And we may see that the wicked ones are the one prospering, but one day God will be the judge. We can look around the world and see the millions of babies being murdered in the name of women's rights. We can look around the world and see the wicked homosexual crowd parading around calling their sin an alternative lifestyle. We can see the whores and harlots of Hollywood being praised for being good role models. We can see crime and immorality on a rise, but one day, God's going to judge. My Bible still says that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Folks, the judgment of God should cause the fire to burn within us. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. As a Christian, these next verses we're about to read, if this doesn't cause something inside, something to happen inside of you, then I would dare say there's probably a problem. Revelation chapter 20, I want to read to you some of the most sober verses in the whole Bible. Verses 11 through 15. And folks, I want you to understand, as what we're about to read is not a fairy tale. It's not something that might happen. It's not something that possibly could happen. This is going to be reality. And I want you to keep that in mind as we read these verses. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. See, folks, we think they're getting away with it, but God's going to have the last word. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's very sobering as a Christian. To thank all those folks without Christ, from the greatest to the least, one day stand before God. They'll give an answer for their works. They'll give an answer for those times they rejected God. They'll give an answer for all those times they snuffed God, snuffed their nose up to God. They'll give an answer for all those times that they indulged in their sin and wickedness. And then God's going to judge them out of those books, and they'll be cast alive into the lake of fire. I don't know about you, but that causes something down inside of me to burn. To realize that if my neighbors don't get saved, they're going to be there. If that door I knock in on Wednesday, if those folks don't get saved, they're going to be there. If those folks over in Bloomfield we're trying to reach, if they don't get saved, they're going to be there. Those folks in this community, if we don't reach them, they're going to be there. Some of my lost family, if they don't get saved, they're going to be there. Folks, that should cause something to burn down inside. Turn with me back to our text in Psalms chapter 34. 39, I'm sorry, Psalms 39. I want you to see something here, because there's more to this psalm. Once the fire starts burning, once as a Christian that fire inside starts to burn, I'm talking about the fire that the Word of God causes to burn, the presence of God, the judgment of God. Once those things, you start understanding those things, and the fire begins to burn inside, the thing which consumes you to service, the things which motivates you, there's some things that happen here. Notice with me verses 4 through 6 of chapter 39. David said this, "Then I spake with my tongue." Once the fire started burning in verse 2, he took note of some things. Verse 4, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." Hey, you know what David realized once the fire started burning? David realized something. He understood that life is to be lived for eternity. Notice what he says there. He says, "Hey Lord, what is my days? They're but a handbreadth. When I live for myself, it's vanity. It's emptiness." You know what David's saying here? Hey, there's something greater worth living for than myself. And David understood something. Once the fire got lit, once it started burning inside, he understood that life is to be lived for eternity. What happened? What happened to us living by the motto, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." You know why this world is our home? Because our treasures aren't laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Our treasures are here. And the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. The fire is not going to consume your heart if your treasures are here. And David understood. He understood that once the fire begins to burn, that we understand that we're supposed to live life for eternity. But not only that, he understood something else. Look at verse 7. "And now, Lord, what wait I for? What wait I for? God, what's the point? What wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgression. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. Hey, you know what he's saying here? Once the fire starts burning, David realized something else. That, hey, we can trust God even when he allows difficult situations in our lives. Do you understand what David just said here? Hey, before, you know what he said? He said, hey, Lord, you know what? My hope is in thee. By the way, God, I don't understand why you're doing this to me. It says here that I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. Hey, God, hey, it's what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Hey, folks, once the fire starts burning, you realize something. Hey, God does things for a reason. God does things for a purpose. All these hard times he allows in our lives, we begin to take God off trial and realize he's trying to work something out in our lives. Those are some things you realize once the fire starts burning inside. Now, hey, you know what? The dry Christian, the Christian who never had that consuming fire, if you look in their lives, it's just as opposite of these two things. Just opposite. They don't live for eternity. And the first thing when something bad happens they want to do is point an accusation finger at God. You want to know who the people who don't have a burning fire are? Those people who do those kind of things. Those people who are consumed with this world and this world system. Those folks who don't trust God in their lives and who want to blame God for things. Folks, listen to me. The fire, it should consume you. It's what drives you to do what you do. It's the fire that burns. Now, all that to, let me give you some practical application. I believe if the Bible's not practical, what good does it do to preach it? It needs to be practical so we can live it. Okay? Let me give you three things about the fire tonight to make this practical, and I'll be done. Once the fire begins to burn, there's some things we need to do. Okay? Practicality number one is this. If you don't have the fire, get the fire. If you don't have the fire, get the fire. Okay? If the Word of God doesn't cause your fire to burn, then tomorrow morning, pick it up and start reading it and let it begin to kindle a fire down inside your soul. If the holiness of God doesn't cause your fire to burn, I want you to decide you're going to live the way God wants us to live, the way the Bible commands us to live, and start living a holy, separated life. And the holiness will cause the fire to burn. If God's presence doesn't cause your fire to burn in your life, why don't you begin a relationship with God? Why don't you realize that Christ's presence is now in this place tonight, and begin to develop that relationship and cause God's presence in your life and allow the presence of God to cause the fire to burn. If the fact that the lost will be judged at the great white throne doesn't make you want to get somebody saved and cause your fire to burn, then folks begin to start to witness and win the lost and cause the fire to burn. Hey, we need to get the fire tonight. We need to be burning Christians for God. Get the fire. Get it. If you're not consumed right now with doing something for God, you can get that fire. Get the fire. Don't just settle down and get comfortable in your Christian life. Be a burning Christian. Amen. Brother Hiles used to say this. If you set yourself on fire, people will come to watch you burn. He was talking to his preacher boys. If you set yourself on fire, people will come to watch you burn. Folks, listen to me. We all need to be on fire for God. We all need to be consumed with getting the job done for God. Well, you know, what would cause a pastor to call to want a congregation this size to try to build a $250,000 building? Let me tell you why. You know why? Because our pastor has a fire burning inside. What would cause a pastor to want to take a church on the other side of the county, take some of the resources that could be used to build this church, and devote some of those resources to a place where, outside of driving distance, that's not really going to affect this church a whole lot, and try to build something? You know why? Because of the fire that burns down inside. And you know what, folks? You know what he's trying to get us to do? He's trying to spread some of that fire to us. And we need to get the fire. We need to get the fire. So, hey, if you have the fire, guess what you need to do next? You need to keep the fire. Once you get it, you got to keep it. Hey, y'all know, I started a fire in my house the other night to, burn some stuff I was cleaning up around the yard. Hey, you know what happened after some time? The fire went out. You know why? Because if you want a fire to keep burning, you got to keep the fire. You got to keep adding things to the fire. You know, fire has to have some things to burn. I'm sure many of you came to our creation fair we have out here. And of course, what is it with boys and fire and explosions? I mean, you know, I had like all the boys want to do something about fire, explosions, or something, you know. So, but yeah, if you saw Matt Harrison's table, he on that table told us that fire has to have certain ingredients to burn. And then there was his retarded dad who had a real-life fireball in his hand. And Brother Harrison, skin is not what you need to make fire burn, okay? Skin's not a requirement. But there's some things you have to have fire to burn. You got to have fuel. You got to have oxygen. You got to have the right fuel, the oxygen ratio. Hey, you got there's some things you got to do to keep the fire, folks. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So my message tonight to you is this. Once you have the fire, keep it. Don't let it go out. Once you get the fire started, you got to keep feeding the fire. Hey, if you read your Bible now, you need to keep reading it day after day. Hey, you know what I've noticed about myself, folks? I'm a pretty leaky vessel. I'm a pretty leaky vessel. You know what I mean? That's why God said, give us this day our daily bread. You know why? Every day, folks. Hey, you can't just store up on it and then it lasts you for the week or lasts you for the month. Hey, that manna in the wilderness, that was a picture of how we need to use the Word of God. Hey, it only lasts a day, about 24 hours, if that is all I'm good for. I got to get fueled back up. And folks, listen, we got to keep the fire. We got to keep the fire. If you're living a holy life, don't compromise with the world and buckle under peer pressure. But you got to keep your standards. You got to keep the fire in that area. Too many people are letting the fire go out in this matter of holiness. Too many people are letting the fire go out. They don't want to do the work it takes to keep the fire burning. And hey, folks, we got to keep that fire burning. Every day, live the kind of life God wants us to live. Hey, if you walk with God now and walk with Him more and more, keep the presence of God. Keep the fire of the presence of God burning in your life. Hey, what is it about relationships? What are healthy relationships supposed to do? They're supposed to grow, aren't they? I mean, this here just a few weeks, my wife and I, June 23rd, we'll be celebrating our anniversary at camp. Praise the Lord. Amen. But June 23rd, we'll be married 8 years. Eight years, okay? And hey, you know what? Our relationship, it's supposed to be better today than it was the first year we got married. And may I say it is, praise the Lord. And folks, relationships have to grow. If a relationship doesn't grow, it dies. And relationships have to grow. That's why our relationship with God should do the exact same thing. It's just like the hymn says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. What's that talking about? It's talking about a growing relationship. And every day, that relationship should grow. So you got to keep the fire in the presence of God in your life. You got to keep that fire. Okay, you got to work on keeping that fire. Hey, if you're reaching the lost now and getting some people saved, hey, don't let Satan extinguish your burden for souls. You know, I found out that if you don't keep a constant burden for souls, that fire is quickly to go out. That's a quick one to go out. Hey, the Bible says that mine eye hath affected my heart. And hey, that's why we have missionaries in here. That's why we have slideshows in here. That's why we have the brother Carneys and the brother Hongs and all our missionaries coming in. You know why? To help keep us keep a burden for souls. The day our church loses its burden for souls, we might as well close the doors, because we're not accomplishing the purpose God had established for His church. And folks, listen to me. There are many buildings in this community, but few churches. Many buildings, but few churches. Because folks, just because you come together on a place on Sunday morning does not necessarily make you a church. We've got to be doing what God wants us to do. And the heartbeat of the church are souls. And we cannot allow that fire to go out. Too many Christians are letting the fire dwindle and burn out. So we got to keep the fire. So hey, once you get the fire, then you got to keep the fire. Hey, once you get it, once you keep it, we need to spread it. We need to spread the fire. One of the characteristics of fire is that it can spread very rapidly. How many of you ever burned a field off before? Okay, I remember as a kid, man, me and my dad, we used to burn fields off. And we'd light that thing, and on a windy day, and man, that thing would take off. In fact, one time, y'all remember my old Galaxy I drove in high school? That's my dad's killing me, okay? Because that thing's still sitting in his backyard. He wants it out of his yard, and I'm like, Dad, hey, as soon as I move, I'll get it out of your yard, okay? But one day, he was burning the field off. It almost caught my car on fire, okay? That fire was getting pretty close to my car. I think he may have done it on purpose, but hey, you know why? You know why that? Because fire spreads pretty rapidly. And you got the right conditions, you better look out because the fire can just take off right away. Hey, everywhere we go, people should know that there is something different about us. You know why? Because our fire should spread to others. We should spread it to our families. We should spread it to our fellow Christians. We should spread it to the lost. Hey, folks, we need to be spreading the fire that's down inside of our soul. The city of Butte, Montana. Brother Derek, you know where Butte, Montana is at? You know where Butte, Montana is, okay? Butte, Montana was built over a mine which had been on fire for over 20 years. The city was built over the mine. It was not a blazing fire, but it was a smoldering fire. Because there was not a lot of air in the mine itself, it didn't spread very rapidly, but it did keep on spreading. It was started by a miner who left a candle burning in the shaft. As the miners walked out of the mine, the fire didn't go out, and some of the timbers caught, and the fire spread. The time of thousands of men and a good size of their fortunes back at that time were spent trying to stop this spreading fire. That was started and spread and burnt for over 20 years. Hey, folks, you know what? That's the way we as Christians need to be. We need to allow that fire to keep burning in our lives. We need to spread the fire. Hey, first of all, if you don't have it, get the fire. Get it. Hey, it's available to all. Hey, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about a burning desire. I'm talking about something that consumes you. Something down inside that consumes you to do something for God. I'm talking about that thing down inside that drives you. I'm talking about that thing you really can't put words to it. You just have to experience it. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know how to say it except it's just a fire down inside. I mean, hey, how many times you sit in church and you hear the preaching of the Word of God and literally, I don't know if it's the way it is with you or not, but literally, your heart begins to burn. And you feel the... You know what? Hey, that's the fire of God inside. That's the Holy Spirit doing His work. It's like taking the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is like pouring gasoline on a flame. It just... Poof! I mean, God just does something there. And folks, listen to me. God wants all of us to have that fire in our lives. We need to get the fire. If you don't have it, get it. Hey, once you get it, you got to keep it going. Keep that fire going. Don't burn out for God. Don't burn out. Keep going. Keep feeding that thing. Hey, why did God want us to have a local assembly? So, hey, you know why? So we can come together every week and we can fuel the fire. Get the fire fueled up so that we can go out and be set on fire and light the world for Jesus Christ. Hey, but once we get that fire, we got to spread that thing. We got to spread that fire. Hey, why is Brother Derek going to Montana to start a church? Is it because he wants to go on vacation? I doubt it. Hey, why is Brother Derek doing that? You know why? Because he wants to take some of the fire that God's put down in his soul, some of the fire that he got lit right here and at other places in his life, and spread it to the people of Montana. Why is Brother Luke in the Dominican Republic right now? You know why? Because he wants to take some of that fire that he got lit as a young man and spread it to the people of the Dominican Republic. Hey, why is Pastor Jerry in Bloomfield tonight? Why are we going to Bloomfield next Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon? You know why? So we can take some of the fire that's lit right here and spread it to Eastern Greene County. And we need to spread the fire. Now, folks, we all need to be involved in this. We all need to be involved in spreading the fire. But you can't spread it unless you keep it, and you can't keep it unless you have it. The ultimate goal is to spread it. Now, folks, I believe something. And I think most of you, at least we all say we believe this. I wonder how many of us really do believe it. But I believe, and I say this a lot. I tell our kids this a lot. I've said this when I preached here a lot. But I believe it more tonight than I've ever believed it. I believe Jesus is coming really, really soon. I believe we're going to see Him in our generation. I believe that. Now folks, listen to me. When He comes, you're going to be like that ash pile in my backyard right now. It's just Just a pile of gray ash, burnout. You're going to be that blazing fire, doing a work for Him when He comes to get us. Now, folks, that's for all of us. It's for me. It's for you. We got to get the fire. We got to keep it, and we got to spread it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this evening, Lord. God, I thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I thank you for all the dear folk here, God. You've blessed us with a great congregation. I believe that, Lord. Some of the finest people I know are right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, you blessed us with a mighty fine man of God. We thank you for that. God, you blessed us with a great heritage here. Now, God, we got to do something with what you've given us. Lord, we can't sit and smolder. God, we can't just sit and go out. God, we got to spread that thing. God, we got to have that burning desire. Lord, we got to spread the fire. And God, I pray that you'd help us to do that. God, we can't do it without you. Lord, this is nothing we can conjure up on our own. God, this has to be a work of Almighty God in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. I pray that you'd work in our lives. God, I pray if there's some here tonight, Lord, that, Lord, they don't have the fire. I pray that tonight would be the night that they get the fire. God, that they catch what's going on around here. God, they'll get consumed with this thing. And God, they'll take it, and then they'll be everything you'd have them to be. Lord, I pray that you'd help those who do have the fire, Lord, to be able to keep it from going out, Lord, and also to spread it. God, we got a great work to do for you, God, and I pray that you'd help us to do so. Now, God, I pray that you'd bless this invitation tonight and do a work in our heart. And we thank you for it. In your name we pray.